One day you're gonna leave here, folks.
There's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar. For the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there in the sweet by and by. We shall meet on that beautiful shore in the sweet by and by. We shall meet on that beautiful shore to our bountiful Father above. We will offer a tribute of praise for the glorious gift of His love and the blessings that hallow our days. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. We shall meet on that beautiful shore.
Amen. I hope you can sing that song this morning. Amen. How many of you is going to be there that day? You know, we got one over here that's got a little unhappy about something. Amen. You know, my pastor back in North Carolina, I wrote it somewhere in my Bible. I can't remember where it was at, though, but he said it. He said, when you get to heaven, it won't be the streets of gold. It'll be about Jesus. Amen. He said, the streets will be gold, but it'll be about Jesus. Amen. And, you know, one of these days, folks, we're gonna walk down those streets. And we ought to live like that. Amen. We ought to talk like that and act like that and live like that today, because the Bible tells us that we're already there, already in heavenly places, the Scripture tells us, and God's got a plan for us today. Appreciate that, Brother Carl. I called him all around 9:15, and the Turners were supposed to sing, and one of the youngins got pink eye or something or other. I think Brother Billy gave it to him. I'm just kidding. I know he had that stuff this week, too. I don't know what he's doing with pink eye, amen, but got that, and so I called him up. He had just left the house, I believe, and he brought his guitar with him and prepared us a song. I appreciate that. But anyway, I want to say a couple things. If you didn't get to, how many of y'all saw the television thing? Y'all want to thank Cliff. Most of you don't know, I got sick really Tuesday evening. Wednesday, I was very sick. I was running a fever and chills, and Thursday, and really yesterday really was the first day I got out any at all. But I called Cliff, and I told him, man, you got to take the service on Wednesday night. I was trying to figure out how he was going to get prepared for Thursday night. Him and I were supposed to meet and sit down and talk about our plan of attack. I had already prepared a talking paper. Many of you don't know what I'm talking about, right? Basically bullet statements. And we only had 10 minutes to for the entire thing. You had 10 minutes to present your opposition. So we were, and I thought, how am I going to do this? I was sick as a dog, didn't felt bad. And so I said, Cliff, I can't be there. And I hadn't hung up the phone long there, and the telephone rang, and it was Channel 12 News. And they said, well, we're out at your church. It was, I don't know, 5 o'clock in the afternoon. And I said, well, that's a good thing. He said, can you come over here? I said, no, I can't. And he says, we got somebody who can come. And I thought, well, there'll be somebody there in 30 minutes or so. And about 15, 20 minutes later, Brother Wade Hill called, and he said, this Channel 12 News is here. I said, well, talk to him. He said, no, Cliff will be here in a few minutes, amen, chicken as he is. And, of course, Brother Cliff, being a politician, praise the Lord, you know, they like lights, amen, they like lights. I'm just kidding with him. He did a wonderful job, amen, spoke kindly. The words were kind, and they said exactly what needed to be said. The Channel 12 was a little bit disappointed that they had tabled it, to be honest with you. I think they wanted to go down there and have a really big show. Well, I didn't really want a really big show, as old, what's his name said years ago, Ed Sullivan. I didn't really want to see. I wanted to see God take care of it, and he did. without ever having to fire a shot. Amen. And I trust him. But anyway, praise the Lord. Amen. That's a blessing. That's something to praise him for and thank him for. But anyway, we're going to turn junior church. I know we got the little ones. Who's doing junior church this morning? Little ones out the door. Go ahead. Everybody else, turn over with me in the Word of God. Oh, by the way, Corey Colbert got a brown egg for change. First one he's got, one brown egg. Amen. We're going to split it. I mean, excuse me, Corey Bass. I get them mixed up. They can. They all family. They all family. Woo! Man alive. I'm on an antibiotic for supposedly a sinus infection, but I think his son-in-law gave me the flu, to be honest with you. And I feel better today. I'm not hitting on all. See you, boy. Man, I just cleared out that whole side over here. Whoa, what is everybody heading out the door there for? They put them back on the road. Man, half the church is under five. Amen. I'm handy out the door, too. We got a nursery, by the way, also. Man, this left side over here, they just gone. Good to see Elijah and Taylor and what's his first name? Tristan. Look at all that hair that boy got. Man, if I had that, I would be a good-looking dude. Yeah, man. Good to see him. I dream in my dreams of having hair. Amen. But I ain't worried about it. Can't do anything about what you don't have. You can't have hair and brains. I've been told that. It'll be all right. Good-looking youngin' to have a daddy like that. I don't know how. God is good. Grace is real. And praise the Lord for that. Elijah's family is down to just him and the twins there at the house. All the rest of them are gone. And I was talking to him today. He'll be here about a month. He said he's going back down to Florida. But I remember when he was the oldest of the bunch. And now he's only 25. So families come and go. But this morning, turn over to Matthew just for a minute. Chapter number 3. I have been excited. I haven't felt good. Deborah will tell you that. You talk to her. I haven't ran a fever in over 30 years. And so I didn't even know what a fever was. I had chills. And I didn't have a fever. I was running chills. Some of you have had this. I really think it is a virus. I think it's the doctors on the base. They give you an antibiotic. You know, they think, well, you got a sinus infection. And so they give me a big old white-looking pill to take for 10 days. And take that thing, and then they give me some Mucinex D. Anybody ever took that stuff? I took that thing yesterday evening, buddy, at 12 o'clock last night. I opened my eyes, and I didn't close them. I haven't been asleep since 12 o'clock, just to be honest with you. And I'm still wired. I'm still as wired as I can be. I can't take decongestants. It just goes vroom. And, I mean, maybe your nose can breathe, but guess what? I can't rest. And it's just what's in it. But I don't know what's worse, not being able to breathe or not being able to sleep. But I'll tell you right now, I like to sleep too. Amen. But look in Matthew chapter 3. We're going to look at a man that I've always dearly loved. And in Matthew 3, let's all stand. We're going to read a few verses here, a few verses in John, a few verses in Luke. Then we'll give you a message. I was in a revival service months and months ago. Man preached this message, the point-wise anyway. I wrote the points down and went back later on and changed it just a little bit to fit what I wanted to preach on, but I liked his points. He probably got it from somebody who got it from somebody who got it from somebody. And if God wants you to have something, he'll give it to you, amen. And I believe that. He can do that today. But in Matthew 3, verse number 1, it says, "In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and said, Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, The voice of the one crying in the wilderness, Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leather girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Amen. Then went out of him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the regions round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and the Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring, by the way, you could put America right beside of this today, folks. You could put America right there. I can tell you, I'll give you a reason why in just a few minutes. But I think we have reached the mess of the Pharisees and the Sadducees today in our nation. And bring forth, therefore, fruit meet for the repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father, for I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And none also the and now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father God, we love you. Lord, we know today, Lord God, that Lord, we've been blessed, Lord, this week. The devil ain't happy with our blessings. I know he doesn't necessarily care, Lord, about an asphalt plant, but if he could cause a situation to cause disturbances, the old devil is in that world. And God, I'm thankful today, Lord, for the blessings we received this week. But God, I pray right now, Lord, that God, the Word of God will speak to our hearts this morning in the need of our time right now, Lord, to be, Lord, what we're supposed to be for you, Lord. And I realize, Lord, the trumpet could sound this morning. I realize today could be the last day we have on this earth. And Lord, one of us could be the last Christian standing here today. We'd be the last one before that, Lord, the trumpet sounds and before, Lord Jesus, the tribulation period comes. And then, Lord, just a few years later, the second coming of Christ. And Lord, there's a day coming that America is not prepared for. And Lord, our religious society is not prepared for. And God, I pray, Lord God, we will be like John the Baptist. We'll be in a wilderness today crying out, telling the world about the Savior. Now, help us, Lord, this morning. Bless this message, Lord. Use it, Lord, today. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. That's an introduction in prayer, amen, to the message. I'm going to preach a message entitled, The Last Christian Standing, amen. John the Baptist was the last Old Testament prophet. He was the last Old Testament prophet before the Lord came back. He was the last Old Testament prophet to have the ability to have the outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon him. You know, today we don't see God in that sense, but the Old Testament prophets did. Today we're indwelled with the power. The Holy Spirit is indwelled, but he was the last one. And we'll see in a minute that the reason I'm saying that is because he was a different man. He knew who Jesus was. Now, my question is, how did this man live? Knowing what he had to do, well, we know that John the Baptist was raised with godly parents. Hold your place there in Matthew and flip back to Luke, if you will. We're going to look at a couple places before I get to my points here, but I want to give you a little bit of introduction. You know, sometimes we want our children to grow up, and we want our kids to do right. Well, y'all know the story in Luke. His mom and daddy, Zechariah there and Elizabeth, could not have children. Amen? They could not have children. We find that in Luke chapter number 1 and verse number 7 says, in Luke 1, 7, they had no child because Elizabeth was barren and they both were now well stricken in years. Well, we've heard that one before, hadn't we? And it come to pass while they executed the priest's office. By the way, Daddy was doing what he was supposed to be doing before God in the order of his course. I like that, in the order of his course. That means he was where he was supposed to be, doing what God had for him to do. Daddies, that's a good commentary for you and I. We need to be doing what God's got. And by the way, and of course you know the angel came to him. I won't read all these verses, but we know that the angel came to him and told him, hey, you're going to have a baby. Amen. And of course, I guarantee you that was a shock to him there. But you know the rest of the story. The truth is they did have a baby and that boy's name was John. And by the way, not only this, we do know also that he had godly parents. Their parents were right before God. They lived righteously. They were living right, and God used them. But they also, John took the Nazarite vow. You know that. He didn't touch anything dead. He didn't mess around with the booze and the alcohol of the day. He lived that. He lived his life like you'd want your youngin' to live, and God could use him. You know, the ministry there that John had, many people today get a little bit confused when they, especially some of the denominational lines out there, they don't understand John's purpose when they start reading into this and they start seeing things in there. But John's baptism was one of repentance. It was one of confession. It was an Old Testament style. It was, you know, we find, go back to Luke with me. I got to read a couple verses to you. A lot of these denominations believe in what's called baptismal regeneration. You ever heard that term? Well, it means that that water will make you right. That water will regenerate you. Well, I got bad news for you. That's not found in the gospel. That's not what he's even talking about. And look with me in Luke chapter 3 and look in verse number 3. In Luke 3:3, it come to pass, and all the country about Jordan, notice this, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sin. And you'll find that all it was doing was a remission of sin. It really wasn't even doing that. They were confessing. By the way, not only did they just, the way they confessed the sin in that time, they confessed their sin in public. Did you know that? They got out. How many of y'all want to join up with that group? Amen. Just get up in front of the whole group and confess what you just did in public. Amen. And that was a different day. But you want to talk about what regeneration is? Turn back to Titus. I'm going to give you a couple of verses this morning just to get your feet wet before we move on here. But in Titus chapter number 3, and verse number 5, there is a great verse. We miss out sometimes not understanding God's word, especially when you start talking about the baptism of John, and people say, "Well, that was the remission of sin there, and therefore you got to be baptized." Well, right here you'll find the only way your sin can be remissed is when the washing of the regeneration that can only be done by the Holy Spirit. In verse number 5 of Titus chapter 3, not by works of righteousness. You got that one? That be baptism, which we have done, but according to whose mercy? His mercy, he did what? He saved us by the what? By the washing, and there's your word, regeneration, amen. That's talking about the new birth, amen, and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. Now, John the Baptist knew why he was coming. He knew why he was here. He understood his purpose, not the people around him. John's ministry was in all purposes in accordance with what the law was stating. But the days of John the Baptist were different days. You got to remember, you had the Jews there, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and they were all born and blood Jews. And they thought they were somebody. I mean, they, especially the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and the Pharisees even more than the Sadducees. But you know, if you wanted to be a proselyte, y'all familiar with that word? That means you become of another denomination there. You become a Jew. In order to fall into their little world, you had to do three things. Number one, now ladies, you couldn't do this one. The first thing was you had to be circumcised, amen? And they would circumcise you. And number two, they would baptize you. They would actually dunk you under the water. And then lastly, they required you to do what's called an oblation, which is nothing more than an offering. Now, the Jews didn't require. Now, the Jews were born in eight days. They were circumcised. That's just the way it was. But the problem they had is they didn't see any need for any baptism because they were Jews. Therefore, we don't have to worry about our sin because we are of the child and we are the seed of a man named Abraham. Therefore, we are all going to heaven. Well, you know what? We know that's not the case, praise the Lord. I know there's a couple folks in this nation here that believes that Jews are saved. And I ain't going to name the guy because probably be offended by some of you. But there's one man out in Texas, I'm not going to tell you who he is, who preaches that the Jews are all saved. You ever heard him? He's out there. I got news for you. They get saved just like you and I do. If they reject Jesus Christ, they will die and go to hell just like you and I who reject Christ. And I'm sad to tell you that, but that is the case. But here's the thing. While they're getting all this done, I never really would want to be a Jew. Can you imagine here I am 61 years old, and they say, Mr. Lester, if you want to be a Jew, you got to be circumcised. I say, well, you know what? I didn't make it to 61 years old. I think I'm going to stay a Baptist, amen, just to be honest with you. I'll leave that one off. You leave that part off, and ladies, y'all can say amen to that. But you know what? The Jews said, we don't require that. But while they're being baptized, they stood and requested of them to quote the law. They were looking for ceremonial things, and they had to say, you know, we believe this in the law and that in the law and that in the law. And if you ever watch the Jews over in Israel, they're constantly doing their little things. We were out in Fort Lauderdale back on our 35th wedding anniversary. Deborah and I went on a cruise, amen. And I watched this Jew one day. He went in behind this petition. I mean, his wife was sitting beside of us. And he went in behind the partition. I mean, about this much difference between him and the wall. You remember that, Deborah? And I thought, what's that dude doing? I mean, I'm a curious guy. I went over and looked down in there. That boy was up at the wall there. He was going just like this to the wall. I said, that boy's crazy, amen. He's in there. He was doing his thing. He was doing his prayers. He was hanging right into his ritual things that he had to do. I wanted to tell him, man, you ain't got to do any of that. You just got to fall on your knees and ask Jesus Christ to save you, and you can go to heaven. But, you know, I didn't get into that. The Jews required no baptism because they thought we are the seed of Abraham. You know what? You know. Look, go back to. You know what? John called them. Look in verse number 7. This is just free right now for a minute. Look in verse number 7. They thought they were so good, but verse number 7. Look what John said. This is John the Baptist, by the way. That's why I like him. But when he saw so many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, "O generation of what?" He said, "You're a bunch of snakes." And if you read carefully, you'll find Jesus in John chapter 8, somewhere down about the middle of that verse. John tells him, you are of the children the devil. How about that one for? Yeah, how about we get out into our society today and say, let me tell you what you believe in there. See, today the church, won't, you know how we want to live? We want to shake hands with all these folks that have rejected Christ. And we want to just all come together. By the way, it's coming real soon. This one world government is coming. I don't know whether this old preacher is going to see the Lord come back, but I believe some of our youngins are going to live to see the one world government that's headed this way. It's fastly getting to the place where everybody, we're just going to all be able just to bow down together. I heard the Pope say this. I heard it on, I don't know what television station I was listening to, but the guy quoted it. He said, it might have been Jimmy D. Young, I think it was. You ever listen to him? He said that the Pope said that the Jew, the Christian and the Muslim all worship the same God. And we just need to be able to just come together. Well, I got some bad news for you. You reject his son, my dear friend, and all the gods in the world cannot get you into heaven because there's only one. Now, John the Baptist, amen, he comes along there, and his mission, I like it. Being a military guy, I wanted to know exactly what our mission was. I wanted to know exactly what our requirement was. I wanted to know exactly what we had to do, and I wanted to turn us loose and let us do what we had to do so we could go home, amen? And John the Baptist knew his mission was clear. He knew he was there to prepare the way for the coming of the Lord. He knew that today. But you know what? I'm going to get into John just a minute. But do you realize that we could be the last generation of Christians on the earth before the coming of the Lord? We could very well be. So here's my point this morning. If John the Baptist's whole purpose, we know, was to point these folks to the one who could remove sin. He was to point them to the one. He was the one crying in the wilderness. That's Isaiah chapter 40, by the way. You need to read that sometime. Matter of fact, I read all of Isaiah just to help you to understand it. But he understood. And today we know more prophecy day than our families have ever heard. We got more understanding today. The book of Revelation today is not a difficult book. And you can add Daniel and Ezekiel in there. And you can follow, you know, if you listen to Jimmy D. Young or Doug Stauffer or some of these guys that are just out there. I mean, they know so much about it. But the truth of the matter is, you can find out any of this today. It's clear to us today. But how do we live today as Christians? There's our problem. We just kind of want to float along in a world. We don't want to rock a boat. Just want things to be just like this. And then one day the trumpet's going to sound. We're going to go, oh my goodness, what have I done? See, John did exactly what he was supposed to do. Let me give you a couple things about John and we'll go home and I'm headed over to the hospital to check on Van. But just for a few minutes today, the last Christian standing. What about John the Baptist? First of all, John lived a different life. Did you hear that? What are you talking about, Pastor? Well, look in verse number 3. Let me just pull up to verse 3 and 4. We know that he Isaiah says, the voice of the one crying in the wilderness. Notice here, prepare ye the way of the Lord. There's John's purpose there. Make his path straight. That's the Lord. And the same John had his raiment, of camel's hair and a leather girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. I got to thinking about this. I preached the sister message to this at Victory Baptist Church a few weeks ago. I don't know, where's you remember this? I did a little bit different for y'all, though. And he had like my brother that preached a message on Friday there on the devil, right? On the devil, amen. And I think y'all won that competition. Am I right on that? Amen. Praise the Lord for him. Y'all go by and speak there to him. But God's called him there to preach, and he's getting a chance to preach. We're going to have him preach here as soon as he gets his message ready. But you know, John the Baptist was not your run-of-the-mill kind of guy. You know, everybody today, we don't want to buck the system today. You know what I'm talking about? That we don't want people to think badly of us. We don't. This man's dress was different, Brother Ricky. How many ladies in here ever wore a girdle? Raise your hand. I'm just curious. I'd be just curious what a girdle feels like. I mean, it's like putting a feed sack around you, right? I mean, I'm just guessing. I mean, I've never tried one on, just to be honest with you. I mean, I have an idea what a girdle's for. I mean, I do understand what a girdle's for, and I do that. But this man was different. The Bible tells us that he had a leather girdle. And you know, and he had raiment there. His dress was camel's hair. So if I read it right, this dude was hairy looking, and he had a girdle on. Now I'm gonna tell you something. I've seen a lot of weird people in Montgomery, Alabama. I mean, you hang around here long enough, and you'll see some weird looking people running around. But John the Baptist, he wasn't your run of the mill man. I mean, when you saw him coming, you knew something was different about him. Amen? I mean, let's just face it. He come in, and so I says, if you've ever been out, I won't be too hard on California, but we lived out there for 5 years, and I used to love to go. We live not far from Los Angeles, and we'd go once in a while, we'd go shopping. I'm not big on shopping. I would go find me somewhere and sit down. I'm going to tell you right now, it was nothing as you've ever seen on television. I've seen people like, I didn't realize there were people in the world like this. We were down in Redondo Beach one day, and these guys were on skateboards, and they were taking chainsaws. The chainsaws were running wide open, and they were on a skateboard, and they were flipping those chainsaws, McCulloch chainsaws, up in the air, and they were juggling the chainsaws. I thought, I've never seen anything like that. That's something different. I believe John the Baptist was different because he was meant to be different. Now, I'm going to apply this in just a second. The second part of this about his different life, he had a different diet. How many of y'all like honey in here? Raise your hand. I like it. You know what I like about honey? My uncle raised bees, and he used to always bring us the honey over to the house. Now, I like the comb. Man, I like to get that big old cone out of there and suck on that stuff. Ooh, man, that is the best. I used to chew them big old bob up. You ever done that before? I mean, I'd chew on it, make teeth out of it and all, buddy, and play with it as a kid. But I like the cone in there and all. But John the Baptist, he was eating honey. Can you imagine now? I'm just guessing. He's got a girdle on. He's got a hairy garment on out of camel's hair. He's got a big gob of honey in his hand. So far, this guy don't look exactly like a normal guy. The real thing is what was in his other hand. Amen? Because he was taking them, supposedly, it says, I think he called them things locusts. Now, I know there's a little bit of disagreement on maybe what locust is. I've always been taught that locust was a bug or a grasshopper. Amen? How many of y'all have ate a grasshopper lately? Here in Alabama, they got them big old, anybody seen them big old black grasshoppers they got here? They got some grasshoppers here. Let me tell you something right now. Them boys is 4 and 5 inches long. Can you imagine? He's got 3 or 4 of them in his hand. He's dipping them in his honey. And, you know, you ever broke a grasshopper's head off? It looks like it got chewing tobacco in it. I'll just tell you like it is. He had that grasshopper in one hand, and he's dipping it into the honey, and you're standing there looking at him, and he's got grasshopper legs hanging out of the side of his mouth right there where he just got through eating that. And this guy is coming up out of the middle of nowhere. The wilderness, the Bible says. I'll get into that in just a second. John the Baptist had a different dress. John the Baptist had a different diet. And by the way, we also find that how he actually, call it his demeanor if you'd like to, it was different. By the way, what do you mean, Pastor? Well, it says that he, look, I told the class the other day, look in verse number 3. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, there's a television program called The Voice. I didn't realize it was in the scriptures, but there it is. The Bible says that he is the voice. He is the voice of the one crying in the wilderness. And then he says, prepare you the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Can you get a picture of this? You got a dude with a girdle. I don't know if that was the norm or not. I'll be honest with you. If I saw a dude standing out right now somewhere on the streets with a girdle on, and he had a camel hair jacket wrapped around him, and he had a gob of honey in this hand, and he had a bunch of grasshoppers in this hand, and he starts talking. Think about this. Prepare the way of the Lord. Prepare the way of the Lord. Think about it a minute. Prepare the way of the Lord. You're going to stop and say, hey, man, what's going on with you? You're going to dial 911 and say, this dude is out there. Amen? This dude is out there. Well, I got news for you. John the Baptist was not your run-of-your-mill guy. He was different. Now, here's my point. He had a different life. He had a different life. You know what's wrong with the church today? The church wants to look just so much like the world that the world will like us. I come real close yesterday. There's a singing group, and I like to listen to some of their songs. And I'll go ahead and tell you who it is, and some of you will probably be mad at me. But there's a group called the Crab Family, and I like some of their music. But it was on Facebook, and I looked at it, and I looked at the guys that were on there, and they looked like the average rock and roll band. When I was a kid, when Southern gospel music was really big in America then, you know how performers sang black and white? You know, when they come to a singing, let me tell you how they were. Buddy, they had on the finest jackets you ever seen. They had neckties on. When they stepped out to sing, they looked like people that they were there because they were representing the King of Kings. They didn't look like junkyard dogs. When you went to church, I got to be honest with you. I know some of y'all probably mad at me on this, but I don't care. When I went to church, the preacher had a jacket and a tie on. The church of today, they come in any way they want to. And the world says, well, we got to meet the world there. We got to make sure. And so what do? Pretty soon, you got your earrings in your ear. You got your tattoos all over. You look like the average junkyard dog out there. And you think the world's going to embrace you. When things gets hard, they're going to look for people that are different. They're not going to look for people that looks and smells like them. I'll tell you something now, when a drunk gets ready to get right, when a drunkard gets ready to get right with God, they don't run down to the bar to find another drunk to ask them how to do it. They start looking for somebody that they know means business. And what's missing in our nation is people today that really and truly do not have, they're not different than anybody else. Now, that's free this morning. Number two, look in first three verses. He was different, verse 3 and 4. He was dedicated. I like dedication. I'll tell you something about now. You want to impress me? This ain't even on my notes anywhere. It's in my mind. You can be the sharpest, greatest singer it's ever been, Brother Carl. I enjoyed your song. I'm not talking about you. You can be the greatest teacher that's ever been. You can be the greatest van driver it's ever been. And whatever you do, if you're dedicated to it, you will have my vote every time. But if you're the best it's ever been, and you're not dedicated to what you do, I really and truly don't have a lot of time for you. If you're not going to be faithful, I just assume you go somewhere and play church. I don't have time to look around to see if you're going to be there. Now, that's free. But the truth of the matter is, John the Baptist was a dedicated man. Look at verse number 1. In those days came John the Baptist. Now, what was the old boy doing? Preaching in the wilderness of Judea. What in the world? Turn over to Luke chapter 1. A couple verses in Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1 is a very long chapter. And at the end of the verse there, you know, he was dedicated. You know, some people want the easy road. Fannin Road ain't the easiest church I could have pastored. I got to be honest with you. Some of y'all are opossums. I'm telling you right now, y'all can play dead 1 minute and try to bite you the next minute. That's how possum is. Take them teeth out and you go, ah. But look, some of you know, you've been around possums, you know what I'm talking about. I was trapping years ago, and I set these traps, and I always had about 30 of them. My dad was big into trapping, and I had gone out that morning to check the traps about 5 o'clock in the morning. The gum was trapped, was tripped, and I had forgot my flashlight. Bad decision on my part. A rabbit won't bite you. Rabbits go in the front way. You just reach them, grab them by the back of the legs, and drag them out, pop them in the head, and go on down the road. Anyway, I stuck my hand down in there to get that thing out, and I heard this. So at the time, I was trying to be a smoker. You know, I was 13, 14. I took my matches out and looked, and there was these two sharp teeth about this high on both sides of that possum looking at me. Didn't do that but one time. Took my flashlight from then on. But see, we want the easy road. Look in verse number 76 of chapter number 1 of Luke. Chapter 1, verse 76. Notice the child here. He didn't get John the Baptist didn't have the easy road. And thou child shall be called the prophet of the highest. They knew this about the boy. For thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his way, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sin through the tender mercy of God, whereby the day spring from on high has visited thee. Do you realize that he was in the wilderness? Now, when you think about a wilderness, we think about some place down in Lowndes County, just to be honest with you, or Mississippi. I think Mississippi could be a wilderness. Louisiana's got some wilderness too. John's parents took him once they took him out to a place away from all the people. They raised him that way. And by the way, that we know. Go with me and go back to Luke. I went too fast there, I think. Go back to Luke one more time. Go back to Luke. I didn't read that one verse I wanted to get. And in Luke chapter 1 and verse number 80, there's the verse I was looking for a minute ago. And verse number 79 says, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in shadows of death, to guide our feet in the way of peace. And notice, and the child did what? That means the boy's growing up. And he waxed, that's the word, he grew strong in the spirit and was in the where? In the desert till the day of his what? Till God was ready to bring him out to where he was going to be. Now, I want to tell you parents something. Some people say, well, just drop your kids off in the world and let them go. You drop your kids off in the world and let them go. You better give your children as much of the Lord as you possibly can. You better fill them youngins up with the scriptures. You better have them in church every time the doors open. You better be on your knees in prayer with them. You better be reading your Bible with them. Because I'm going to tell you something. You don't know what God's going to do with them. You surrender them youngins to the Lord. John was dedicated. The wilderness was a place mainly where there were no people. There was a lot of animals out there because sheep herding was the business. But the Bible tells us there that he was a preacher. That means when he come in, he didn't say, hey folks, I just want to come in and give you five little points on how y'all can be good Jews. That's not what it says. By the way, look in that verse there. He says in verse number 2, in saying, repent! Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. See, he believed right now Jesus is here and he's fixing to set that kingdom up. I tell you what you do. Go downtown Montgomery. Some of y'all have never done street preaching. That's a fun thing to do. Anybody ever done street preaching around here? Let me tell you something right now, buddy. People will look at you like you are cuckoo in Spanish, loco la cabeza. That's one Spanish word I know. You be out there on the side of the street preaching, buddy, and you got your Bible up and you're preaching, and they'll go, them folks, can I tell you something? That's how they view John the Baptist. John the Baptist says, repent! By the way, he didn't just go out on the street. He went over there to their synagogues. He went out there where the crowd was at that really would get pretty mad at you in a heartbeat. He went to First Baptist, First Methodist, Second Baptist, Second Methodist. He went to the Church of God, the Church of Christ. He didn't care. He went wherever he was supposed to be because God sent him there to point these folks in the right direction. By the way, verse number 5 of chapter 3. Underline this one in your Bible. It says, they then went out to him, Jerusalem, and all Judea, and all the regions round about Jordan. You know, we went out yesterday knocking on doors. Carl didn't know. Carl, you awake back there? Come up, Carl. Come up for air. He's not with me. Okay, just checking. Carl didn't know this yesterday. We had a guest in the church, and he'd come by, a preacher that's here in the area over off of Highland Park. pastors a church over there. He comes by to check on us a little bit. I think he wants to come over here, but he's a little bit scared of us. But anyway, he come by to talk to us. And my real plans were, y'all didn't know this, my real plans were I was going to send Cliff to the Spanish. I was going to send Billy and Carl out to knock on doors. And I was getting in my car. I was going home. Well, I got out there talking to Brother Weiss. And I was talking to him, and I looked around. Carl's standing there. I said, "What are you doing?" He says, "I'm waiting on you, Pastor." So me and him went. We went down in Judea down here to Smiley Court, and we went. We went a couple different places and went around about. Then we ended up down Smiley Court and got through there and run into a bunch of kids and different things. Passed out tracts and did all those kind of things. But you know what? We did what? We went out. You know, we went out. Average Christian don't go out. Most of you know that I like Tony Evans. I really like his teaching on the home and the family. And Tony Evans said this, and I think it's so prevalent of our church. We've got to realize this. Tony Evans said the church should be a salt shaker. Amen. We should be in the world shaking out the gospel, not sitting on the pews of our churches. That's where we're supposed to be. But, you know, John was dedicated. He was a dedicated man. He was dedicated to what God had sent him to do. Number three. He was not only dedicated, he was something that's missing today in pulpits, missing today from Christians. The word is politically correct. You familiar with that word? You know what that really means? That means that you don't create any stink. You never say anything that will cause someone to be offended. That's political correctness. You can be to whoever you need to be whenever you need to be. If you're a Republican, then I can talk Republican. If you're a Democrat, then I can talk Democrat. If you're an independent, I can talk that. John the Baptist didn't talk any of that. Look in verse number 7. Look how he treated. This is so important for us today, and I'm almost done. Verse number 7. He says, but when he saw many of the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Baptists come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruit meet for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewed down and cast into the fire. Most of you know the Pharisees. Amen. The Pharisees were the I-dotters and the T-crossers. They were the hypocrites. Y'all familiar with that word? They honored God on the outside, but on the inside, they lived like the devil. They were inwardly filled with sin, but on the outside, they looked like they were Christians. Not necessarily Christians, but in my terminology. You know what Jesus called them in Matthew? Jesus called them whited sepulchres. You know what that means? A sepulchre is where bones are. Dead bones. The outside, you know, back in North Carolina, where we're from, a lot of the old cemeteries will have these great big above. They have them down here in Alabama too. You go to the old ones. I get the heebie-jeebies when I go in places, though, buddy. And you go in, you know what the heebie-jeebies are? Y'all familiar with that word? Yeah, but I get the heebie-jeebies in there. They got these things above the ground there. Some of them you can walk into, buddy, where they got them people above the ground. Well, that's what I think about when I see that word. I'm thinking about going in there. Well, and they're made out of this white marble-looking stuff. Now, after years and all, it turns gray-looking. But Jesus said, hey, on the outside, you look all that pretty and white, but on the inside, you're just a bunch of old dead bones. The Sadducees, though, they were a little bit different. I heard my pastor years ago said they were sad because they didn't believe in the resurrection. But you know, the scripture, they pretty much, the Sadducees denied the scriptures. They didn't believe in life after death and surely didn't believe that Jesus rose up from the dead. It's interesting to me. Now, go back with me. Go back to the verse here. Here John the Baptist is out. Verse number 6 tells us, we're baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. Young people, front row, almost front row, put your arm down, young lady. And we're baptized of him in Jordan. John is out baptizing people. Think about this a minute. And here comes the religious crowd, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Now, he's baptizing people. And I believe, doesn't say it there, but I believe they're getting in line. Because, see, some people, they just want to dot their I's and cross their T's. And they're all in line there. And I want you to notice, you know, in our today's society, and y'all going to probably gonna be mad at me when I tell you this. I do not believe in blessing animals. I do not believe in I'm going to just tell you what I don't mean. That, there are places where they take those animals and churches that take them in there and bless those animals. And I am a dog lover. I mean, I love dogs. Somebody sent me a thing on Facebook the other day, and it says, if you're somebody who that speaks to a dog, did somebody see that? And I said, what did it say? Anybody remember it? Anyway, it said, if you say hi to a dog, you like. And I liked it, but I put on my, I said, well, I don't say hi to no cat. None. I say hi to a dog in a heartbeat. Hey, dog, good to see you. But the truth of the matter is, you know, a lot of people today, they treat animals like they're people. I got news for you. Animals do not have souls. They're just animals. God put them here. The Scriptures tells us this. Does that mean I don't love them? No, I do love them dearly. And I understand the loss of them. Don't misunderstand me there. But these folks were standing in line. And when they got up there, by the way, the crowds are all there. They see all the fanfare going, so they're in line there, and they want to get whatever they can get. They ain't looking for anything spiritual. They're looking for the biggest hot dog. That's all they're looking for. They got in line, but you know, look in verse number 8. Look what John called them a bunch of snakes. And then he said, if you want to be baptized, bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. You know what he's looking for? He's looking for proof that you really have repented. He's looking for proof that you know, I'm fearful sometimes of people that come to church, make professions up here, and then go right back out living like the devil. That ain't supposed to happen. Now, I didn't say you were perfect. Don't misunderstand me. You ain't no perfect person here. But you shouldn't walk right out the door, right down the street to the six-pack, and pick up your bud and start back to drinking it again, knowing that that God is not happy with it. You shouldn't do that. But see, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, John was a direct preacher. By the way, he questioned their beliefs. He questioned their beliefs. I mentioned just a few weeks ago, since they're here, she went out. Where'd she go? Where did Tara go? She left. Yeah, she's got the baby. I thought Sammy maybe was the one back there. Sammy's her test of her whole life. Well, the baby is too, right? Baby's going to be too. But we were up at St. Vincent's Hospital, and Alan was laying there. He had the surgery done, and I was talking to him, you know, and everything was going good, and this attractive young lady comes in, and so I asked her a question like this. I said, Do you know where you're going? Do you know something about, you know, where you're going to heaven? It was a question to get an answer. And she's her exact words. Let me see. I wrote this down. She said, I have been baptized. Listen to this, for the remission of my sins. And I said, well, that's real good, but it didn't take care of your sins. And then she said this. She said, well, that's a question that we don't have time to discuss. And I said, I do. You know why? Because that lady believes in baptismal regeneration. She believes that water that she got baptized in washed away her sins. And it's taught in Montgomery, Alabama right now. It's being taught. You gotta have that. You gotta have the sacraments. You gotta take the bread, and you gotta take that. You gotta make sure you tithe. You gotta do all those things. He questioned their beliefs. I love the song. That gal told me that. I was sitting there thinking, what can wash away my sin? Not no water in this place. Not yours either. But you know what he told them in verse 8? You look at that verse, he said, bring forth fruits, meat proper for repentance. He said, you know what? You got to repent. I grew up in a religious family. My Aunt Mary, a lady that was just like my mother, they were disciples of Christ. My parents were Methodist. And similar in things, they took communion, though, with the disciples of Christ every Sunday. Anybody been to one of those churches there? Every Sunday, the disciples of Christ took that. And I remember going, and they never let me take it. You know why? Because I was a Methodist. I wasn't a disciple of Christ. The only people that could go and take that in that church was the disciples of Christ. Well, see, I was concerned about my aunt. I loved her just like my mama. Two people, other than the Lord, I want to see when I get to heaven is my mama and my Aunt Mary. But I sit down with her, and I questioned her. I don't even think I've ever told Deborah this. I sit down with her. She was making biscuits. And I asked her strict questions about her salvation. I said, Aunt Mary, that can't save you. That water baptism, people get all concerned about the water back there. Can I tell you something right now? I got sprinkled as a kid, but I got saved by the blood. Now, I got dunked after I got done that, but I can tell you something. The dunking didn't save me. The blood saved me, brother. The blood of Jesus Christ is going to keep me out of hell. Amen? And going to keep you out of hell today. But my point is this. The group that was there that day, the religious crowd, they didn't see any need to repent because they felt like being Jews that they didn't need to. They don't have to do this. And you know how we know that? Because notice what John the Baptist said. Look in verse number 9. He says, and think not to say within yourselves. Got that? Think not to say within yourselves. Don't say under your breath is what John is saying there, that you don't need to repent of your sin. Don't say that. I read an article about the Jews that are descendants of Abraham. They believe they are. Of course, all of us fall under that crowd. But a leading rabbi said this, and I think this is interesting. He said, in the ages to come, Abraham would sit beside the gates of hell and will not suffer a circumcised Israelite to go down into hell. Can I tell you something? We want to pick on the Jews. We got folks today that, our church is not that old, but I hear this in town. I say, hey, where you go to church at? My grandmother, my great-grandfather, my great-great-grandfather is buried there in so-and-so church. Really? You know what you're trying to tell me? That's going to pass on to me because of what my great-great-great-grandmother did. If your great-great-grandmother didn't accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, your great-great-great-grandmother went to hell. Now, I'm not being disrespectful on that. But see, the Jews thought because they were of the children of Abraham that they were going to heaven. And John the Baptist did not cut any slack here. John the Baptist told him it like it was. By the way, you can look in verse number 10. And he tells them pretty much, and now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth fruit is hewed down. And what's done to it? It's cast where? Into the fire. And that's where he said, that's where you're going to be. And by the way, let me tell you something right now. Does anybody remember what happened to John the Baptist? Why did they cut his head off? Someone had somebody else's wife. Remember? Yeah. And John the Baptist says it's not right for you to marry your brother's wife. And so they got to, he lost his head because he was a direct. Let me ask you a question. Now I'm not picking on us preachers, but how many preachers you reckon would really be willing to go to jail today because they believe the truth? Not many. Most of them say, well, I can recant that. I don't need to think along those lines. I got to close. My time's run out. The last thing is found in verse number 11. John the Baptist, he had a different life. I like him. He was dedicated. He was direct. This is a hard one. I've been teaching on Wednesday nights. I'm almost done out of John chapter 3. What you don't know about John the Baptist, if you read carefully about him, you'll find that John the Baptist had a tremendous following. I'll tell you something about preachers and churches. You know, I remember one year we went to a church out in Albuquerque, New Mexico. The pastor of the church was I started to change my name one day because this just sounded good. J. Curtis Goldman. My name is J too, so J. Francis Lester. That sounds good. They said, the pastor of our church is J. Curtis Goldman. And I mean, they said it just like that. And I went, wow. That's somebody. I didn't have a clue who he was. Now, he was a good man. Don't misunderstand me. He was a World War II glider pilot who flew into Germany. He was that. But here's my whole point. He was a very flamboyant man. And he had a lot of prestige. The church run 1,000 on Sunday. At the time, it was Bible Baptist, and he was well known. You probably remember Curtis Goldman. And well known man, and very, very much a well spoken man. But let me tell you something. He was thought of so highly, so highly. And I didn't realize anything about him. But you know, it'd be easy to go, ah. You know, I asked God one day, I said, God, it's best just to keep Jim humble. It's best just to keep me humble. Because I'll be honest with you, you know what? Somebody comes up to you, it's real hard for y'all to do. But how old are you? Let me tell you something about boys. They're going to look at you and they're going to say, oh, you're the prettiest girl I've ever seen. You are the finest I have ever seen. I just want you to know that. Look at me. I want you to use this word. Baloney. Baloney! Now, it may be true. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying you, because you are. But they're not telling you that to tell you that because of the reason that you are. They're telling you that because of what their other ulterior motives are. And see, here's the whole problem. Here's the problem with John the Baptist. John the Baptist had a great following. He had people were being baptized. Can you imagine? They're going, hey, Brother John, that's number 738 today. Man, you're doing good, Brother John. It's a fantastic ministry. Betty, he was going, wow. Walking around with that girdle on. Whoa. Man, I'm good. Think about it. I'm good. I am good. I'm doing good. Mm-mm. Look in verse number 11, Brother Rick. Verse number 11, notice what he says. Because John was all about baptism. If you know anything about John the Baptist, that's his purpose in there was to point them towards the one who could change the world. He says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. There you go. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I. Notice how he clearly says here, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. I can't, you know, the foot is about the dirtiest part you can get. I'm not worthy to bear your shoes. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. John's life was a diminished life. Diminished. He knew that his light was going out from the moment that he started. And guess what? He was, and I was trying to figure out exactly how he was, because you know he was a little older than Jesus, so 30-ish when he was martyred. Just a young man. Who in here is 30 years old? Anybody 30, 31? Your age. Brother Cliff, who raised your hand back yonder? You ain't no 30 years old, not in your dreams. Bless your heart. Brother, be about Cliff's age, amen? Right in the prime of his life, and he loses his head. Because he doesn't know how to keep his mouth shut. No. He came because he knew the truth. And he came to preach the truth. And the devil didn't like it. I can promise you that. Now I want to give you some quick points and done. It ain't about you and me. Please listen to this. That, you know, we sit right here with the guys from Mid-South. Paving asphalt folks. Larry Speaks, his son Steve, sit right there. And basically said to them, look guys. It ain't about us. It ain't about us. It's about what God has put us here to do. And we don't want to see anything that would harm the work here that God has put us here to do. We don't hate asphalt. We drove here on it today. Glad to have it. But why has it got to be right there? Why can't it be 3 miles down the road down there next to the dump? It's a good place. Right there in front of the dump road. That's city-owned land. They can build all they want. There's nobody around them there. It's the dump road. A great place for an asphalt plant, in my opinion. But you know what? It's all about John chapter 3, verse 30. Somebody read that verse for me. John chapter 3, verse 30. Somebody got it? John chapter 3, verse 30. Say it one more time loud. Who must increase? And who must decrease? Exactly. You know what? That's not the American way. heard the old saying was, you know, if you're successful at the end, you got the most toys. You got the most cars. You got the most land. Can I tell you something? There'll be a point that stuff won't matter no more. There'll be a point in your life where all the money in the world won't matter. It will not make a hill of beans. The last Christian standing, I'm closing. John understood that he only had a short time to live. I'm going to tell you something today. In this group right here, very doubtful. 80 years from now, there'll be a single person in here. Maybe a few, but not many. 100 years from now, I don't think any of us will be here. None of us. That's not a long time. I mean, I didn't live 61 years. I ain't but, you know, 39 more, and I've got 100 years. I don't think I'm going to make it. I'm not worried about it, though, because I'm not going to make it in this life, but I'm going to make it in the next one. So I'm not concerned about that. But you know what I am concerned about? It could be that God put us where we're at today, just like he placed John the Baptist in a time lap there for the purpose that he said to them, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." Can I tell us today? That's our responsibility. That's the responsibility of this church. Everything else is just potatoes. The real meat is, how many folks will we lead to the cross? How many folks will hear the truth and be saved? How many folks will be changed because of what Jesus can do? How many? John the Baptist was the last of the Old Testament prophets. He came in there with the power that was there during that time. And let me tell you something right now. He did what God put him there to do. You know, we can spend our entire lives. We can spend the entire lives. We can do all these things. And we can spend most of our lives with one single letter as our primary reason for being who we are. And that letter is the letter I. That letter is all about us. Or we can spend our life and says, "God, you increase and I'll decrease." John the Baptist says, "My life needs to be diminished. I'm going to lift up the ones who is able to save the world. That's why I'm here." Every head bowed, every eye closed. I went over just a moment, but I wanted to give you this message.